started talking a couple of weeks ago about requirements for leadership. And we came up with a list of all kinds of things of what does God require for leaders. But this morning I was driving to somewhere, church, but before church, Brother DBJ's house, and the thought came to me, and I said, boys become men, and men become leaders, and they're supposed to be the leaders of their house. What does a leader do? What does a leader do? Yeah. That's the exact word I was looking for. He leads. How do you lead? Yeah. What are you exampling? See, everybody in this room, almost every single person in this room, I believe, is called to be a leader of some sort. We've got a lot more males in here today than females, so we've got a lot of leaders in here. But we've got females that are supposed to be leaders. So what does it mean to be a leader? We've been asking for ideas of, and we were writing stuff down. Remember we started 2 weeks ago? And some of those things that we wrote down, I said, don't they apply to every Christian? What were some of those things that apply to every Christian? So let's just get some ideas of all Christians. What are all Christians supposed to do? We talked about being honest? Did we talk about that? Should all Christians be honest or just the leaders? Okay. So, honest. Give me other things. What did we come up with? We came up, Teachable. What else? We're looking for things like when we talk about leaders, it's not just things we need to know. It's things we need to do or be. And understanding who we are in Christ is something we need to know. I guess, you ought to put that on there somewhere. Okay, go ahead. All right, what else? Obedient, long-suffering. What else? Listening. Yep, humility. Okay, I want us to think about these things. These are all things, but there are things we said that I don't see up here yet. What about, I like that one that Miss Judy said, committed. What does committed mean? Yeah, laying down your life. What else does committed mean? Whoa, how about getting to church on time? How about just coming to church, period? Like, not like, oh, well, I don't think I'll come this Sunday. Or, oh, I don't feel like it. It's like they're not very committed, are they? But that's what God wants for everybody. When we get over here, we're going to talk about the stages of growth. I don't remember exactly how it's the title, how it says it, but the stages of growth as a disciple of Christ Jesus. And there are 7 different stages that I have. Saved, surrendered, submitted, blah, 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 whatever they are, okay? Well, everybody is, if you're born again, you're in there somewhere. But you're not going to go forward if you don't have some things as a foundation. And one of them is you got to be committed. If you're not committed, like, I'm really glad to see everybody here this morning. That's great. But we're not going to grow if we're not committed. For example, if you have a plant and you put it in a pot, like let's say it's an orange tree, okay, or a lemon tree, okay, and you put it in a little potted thing, like you go buy it at the nursery, it doesn't produce fruit until you, plant it. See, until it's committed, it won't produce fruit. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you understand what I just said? It won't produce fruit until it's committed. As long as it's transient, it doesn't produce fruit. What else is it? Because what we want to talk about is, what does God require for leaders? But before we get there, we need to talk about some of the things that are over here. What does God require for all Christians? Okay? What does God require for all Christians? What does He want? Love? Okay? I put obedient right there. It's just faded some. Okay, we were writing all these things down. Now, I'm saying this for a reason. What were some of the things we said we were talking about with leaders? Do you remember? Because what we're going to do is we're going to go over those today. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. 1 Peter, do you have a Bible? How do you know what I'm saying is in the Bible? Are you a Harveyite, or you want to be a Christian and follow Christ? We need a Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5. It's back toward Revelation, toward the end of the New Testament or end of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you, I exhort, I encourage, and I'm also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. What's the first thing? I probably should have had you sit down. This is the stuff we're going to put over here for leaders, okay? Or in this case, he's calling them elders. So he says in verse 2, feed the flock of God. Why don't you put feed? Feed the flock of God, which is among you. And then he says, take the oversight thereof. Lead. Feed and lead. And he says, take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not because you have to. In other words, does God have a call in your life? Is God moving you to do something? Are you willing to step into it? Or do you have to? Does God have to force you? Does he have to tell you 400 times, twist your arm? It says, not by constraint, but willingly. God, I lay down my will to give you your will. I want to be willing. And it says, not for filthy lucre. What is filthy lucre? Do you have an idea? Does anybody know? Yes. Willing. What? Filthy lucre is eagerness for base gain or selfish gain. Remember we talked about, I told you that I thought the most important requirement for a leader, laying down his life to give God whatever he wants. How can you be a good leader for God if God doesn't get to lead through you? If you're trying to do it for him, but he's like, okay, I appreciate that, but that's not what I wanted. That's not where I wanted. That's not how I wanted. So we can put lucre here, but we don't use that word nowadays. So let's just say, lay down our life. Lay down our life. To be a leader. Okay, let me give you an idea. These guys are going to grow up, I'm hoping, and become men. And then they're going to have a home. They're going to get married. I know right now they're not thinking, you know, that's like a desirable prospect necessarily, or wondering how that's going to happen. But if things go like normal, they're going to grow up, they're going to get married to women, and they are then going to have kids. Now, do you know what happens in some homes? It's all about the man. I'm going hunting. I'm going fishing. I'm going to do what I want. I don't. And she's like, but you don't spend time with me. You work all weekend. He's like, this is what I'm doing. I'm watching TV. I'm watching football. Get out of the way. What I'm saying is, it's all about him then, isn't it? Just because he's a boy and his dad called him son doesn't mean the world revolves around him. Okay? What he needs to do to be a good leader is he needs to lay his life down for that wife. If we marry him, I'm going to talk to him about that. I'm going to talk to him about loving your wife and what that means. It means to lay your life down for her. It means to care about her. It means to care about what she thinks and what she feels. To understand her. Women are all emotional. Us guys aren't all emotional. Women are all emotional. God put opposites together. Thank you. Thank you. God put opposites together. Us men, you know, the little kid falls down and skins his knee and we're like, it ain't broke. You're fine. Go play. The woman, they need both. They need to have somebody saying, oh. But then they need to have a man say, okay now, you're okay. Let's get it. Okay. You okay now? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, you're a man. You're not a boy. You're not a little baby. Okay? Your leg's not broke. You can go play now. It's okay. Get a perspective. They need both. Do you understand? They need both. We, to be a leader, see, it's real easy to point and say, this is what you ought to do. But guess what? You're going to be a leader. You are going to be a leader. You may be the leader of your home. You may be the leader at a job. You may be the leader of a Sunday school. You just may be, you may not have any title at all, but other people follow you because you're following God. And you're going to stand for something. You're going to have morals and you're going to have beliefs. And you're going to make choices to follow God and do what's right. And other people don't know what to do because they're not following God. And they don't know what's right. Well, is what all the actors in Hollywood say is right? Here's how they do it. Here's all the sports stars are what they say is right. My life's in a turmoil. My life doesn't work. I went after the beauty queen. And it's like, it's not working. And then they find somebody who is has their life, I was looking for my Bible, has their life based on something solid, something that's true, something that holds true no matter what society says and does. And they're going to follow you. Every one of you in this room is called to be a leader. What is a leader supposed to do? See, all Christians are supposed to be honest. Number one, are you honest? All Christians are supposed to be teachable. Are we teachable? But we already got it all figured out. Everybody just ought to follow us and know everything. Are we obedient? Are we listening? Do we have unity? All these things are in our lives. These are things that God wants in our lives. But to be a leader, it's like you got to care about the other people. Like, something that Sue says a lot is this. She'll be, like this morning, she's reading something in the Word, and God just opened it up to her. And she says, God, is this just for me, or do you want me to share it? Is this just for me, or do you want me to feed others with this? Are you just speaking this to me to do something in my life? Or do you want me to help others feed them so they will grow in these areas. Do you follow what I'm saying? So let's look at some characteristics or qualifications or requirements that God wants for leaders. Is there anybody in this room who would tell me you're not going to be a leader? I'm a man, but I'm not going to lead. I'll let the woman run the house. You will not be happy. She wasn't designed to run the house. Women are designed to be followers. Women are designed to be the completer. But a guy will do a whole lot real good if he'll listen to the wife. If my wife says something, I listen very carefully to what she says. God told me he wanted me to do something. He wanted me to move to Grand Rapids in 1989 when I came here. And I said, God, okay. I said, tell the leaders of this church if you want us here. So the leaders of the church came to me 2 days later and said, we feel like God wants you to come here and for us to support you. And I already knew that. But I said, thank you. I said, and when the meeting's over, we'll go pray about this. And then the last day of the meeting, all the people gathered around us and of the church and said, we want you to stay here. And I said, thank you. We'll go pray and see what God wants. I didn't tell them God had already told me that. But my wife didn't want to come here. My wife wanted to be where we raised our kids on the other side of the state. And so I said to God, God, I know you want us to come here, but I don't want to disobey you. But I'm not going to drag my wife and make her and manipulate her and pressure her. I said, Lord, I want her to want this in her heart. So, Lord, I'm going to give her time. I want to obey you. I don't want to be slow obedience here. But, God, I don't want to treat her the way I've seen other men treat their wives. Well, we're going to do this whether you like it or not. Nope. We ain't playing that game. And my Bible teaches me in Proverbs 21:1, Lord, your word says that you could change her heart. So, Lord, if this is really you, I'm asking you to change her heart. In 1 Peter 3, it says to the husbands, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel. Like caring for her, giving her time. Women get all emotional. They cry and stuff. You don't have to have all the answers. Just hug them. Just hug them. Let them cry. And then listen to what they have to say because you probably caused it. Okay? And then there's a lot of times nobody caused it. It's just those hormones, things that run around inside their body that caused it. Don't worry. It'll go away. They'll straighten up. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll feel better. They'll be able to smile again. They'll cook you food without throwing it on your plate. You know? It will be good. Or at you. Or wanting to cook you. You know? What I'm saying to you is, do you understand that you are a leader? Do you understand that you are called to be a leader? Now, have you ever had anybody, it could be a teacher, it could be a principal, it could be a parent, it could be a policeman, it could be somebody that did not treat you good? Did you ever have a boss, did not treat you good, did not talk to you nice, were mean, ordered you around, harsh? You ever had that? Anybody in the room not had that? Okay, I didn't think so. Do you want to be that kind of leader? I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
No.
So how are we not going to be that kind of leader? Because most of them out there are that kind of leader. Because they are greedy of filthy lucre. It's all about what they think, what they feel, what they want. I'm trying to get ahead and you are causing me problems. Do you see what I'm saying? So how do we become a leader that God could bless? I believe it's in this passage in verse 4. Let's just read it, 2 through 4. Feed the flock of God which is among you, God bless you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not because you have to, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for your own selfish gain, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords or bosses over God's heritage, but being in samples or examples to the flock. Now watch verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, who do you think that is? Jesus Christ, exactly. And when Jesus shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Jesus says, I want to crown you with glory. And how do we get that? The two verses before that, he told us what he requires, what he wants. He wants us to be willing to feed those that he gives us. Feed them. Help them to grow. Guess what? Not all of you eat like me. Not all of you eat like each other. What I'm saying is, I eat a lot. And I'm like, don't get in the way of me and my food. You might get hurt. And some of y'all just kind of pick around, just eat a little bit. What I'm saying is, you can't feed everybody the same. How do you feed each person? How do we feed Ed? And how do we feed Pastor Nate? And how do we feed Andrew? You see, that's it. So it's like dependent on God of how to do these things. But God wants to reward us. He says, I've got a way for you to do it. Nobody's going to do it perfect. He says, but we need to figure out, we need to have some ideas of what he wants. Do we see some things he wants? Do we see some things he wants? Okay, turn over to Titus chapter 1. Titus is near Timothy. Okay, if you know where that is. Titus chapter 1, and I believe it's verse 5. And the Apostle Paul, God had him write this. That is so cool. You did it. You're doing it exactly like I did when I first got in church, man. I'd always turn to the front, look at that. But by the time I would find it, normally the pastor was done, you know. So I try to go a little slower here because I love it when people go to the Word of God. Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. The Apostle Paul, God had him write this. For this cause, for this reason, left I thee in Crete. In other words, I left you in a city. I left you on the island of Crete. Okay, I left you there. Why? That thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. I wanted you to put things in order that were lacking, things that weren't right. I wanted you to set them in order. And ordain or appoint elders or bishops or pastors, whatever word you want to put it, overseers, whatever they were, Sunday school teachers, deacons, whatever. I wanted you to ordain leaders in every city as I had appointed you. There's a hierarchy that God has, but not like the world. And we're going to see that in a little bit. Now let's keep going. If any be blameless, he's given us qualifications. Blameless. So what would the word blameless, does that mean they're perfect? What do you think it means? Have any idea? It means unaccusable. It means to not be able to be accused. Okay? It means, yes, sir? There you go. Not be a suspect. That is really good. Do you hear that? Out of the mouth of babes. I love it. Good reputation. Like standing up here and saying, look, I messed up again this week. Here's what I did. I said something last week. I did something last week. I want to admit it. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? You see what I'm saying? Exactly what he said. Being honest, open. dealing with stuff, not hiding it, not putting it under a rug. Anybody? Does this do anything in anybody? All right. So let's keep going. Blameless. And then he says, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife. What do you think that means? Well, huh? What is that? What do you think that means? The husband of one wife. Do you think he's just talking about? Yes, sir. You know what? That is what it means. Because back during this time, men had more than one wife. Okay? They were just borrowing trouble. I mean, okay? It's like, what I'm saying is, God didn't want that. He wanted one man, one woman, one lifetime. He made them Adam and Eve, not Adam and Eve and Jane and Sarah and Susan. It's like Adam and Eve. One man, one woman, one lifetime. Okay? There's a reason. He's looking for some words here. He's looking for committed. He's looking for love. You got two wives. What do you think you got? If a guy had two wives, what word do you think would be evident in their life? Double-minded. What else? A mess. What else? How about jealous? You think jealousy might get in there? What? Rude. Yeah. The Bible says, husband of one wife. Now, we could talk about divorce in there. And let's talk about that for a minute, just to help you. Okay? Does that mean if somebody has been divorced, they couldn't be a leader? Okay. He gets married, and they end up getting a divorce down the road. I'm not going to even go into why, but they get one. Should I even go here, all this, Lord? I'm just trying to, I want to make this real simple, if I can. And yet it's a can of worms, okay? What God is after is he's after, let's say that like he got married, and then down the road they end up getting a divorce. Does that mean he can't get married again? No. That means he could still be a leader in a home, okay? But what does it mean? You see, God's not that thing of husband of one wife. Think about the word relationship. What does it take to have a good relationship with somebody? How about giving and taking? How about laying your life down, laying your opinions down, laying your wants down? I've seen a lot of marriages. One of the reasons I never wanted to get married before I met Jesus was because I'd never seen a good marriage, because it seemed like I was always watching the man and the woman fighting, or one of them was stronger than the other, and the other was like unhappy, and always the other one was getting their way all the time, and it made the other one unhappy, and I was like, I know I'm tender-hearted, and I'm going to be the one being unhappy, you know? And I said, I don't ever want to get into that. And then as soon as I met Jesus, he said, you need to get married. And I said, I'm afraid to do that, but because you said it, I'll do it, but you got to pick her for me. So he picked her. Husband of one wife. Why does it just say that? Some people just want to take that and go off and run on this whole thing of divorce. And we could talk about that. I don't think that's what we're supposed to talk about right now, because I think we're supposed to do a broad brush of all of these qualifications and things. But when I was thinking about it this morning and asking God, that thing of husband of one wife, that means you would be willing to work things out. Relationship is very important. Not just, okay, well, I don't like this one, I'll get another one. Yes, sir?
If you don't have a relationship, you can't make more babies.
That's right. You're exactly right. But do you understand what I'm saying about husband of one wife? Do you understand what I'm saying? What else do you think out of that? Husband and one wife. I got what he thought. What else do you think? Be an example of Christ. Faithfulness to his church. That's how we should be to our wives. Loyal, committed, faithful. All these words. What I'm saying is, these are words he wants for all Christians. But he's saying over here, husband of one wife. It's not like, okay, I don't like this one, I'll get another wife. Okay, pastoring for 5 years now, I don't like her. She's not working out so good. She doesn't do everything the way I want. I'll get rid of her and get another one. What's he exampling? It's like he's throwing people away. Does Jesus throw people away? He's not willing to lay his life down because that's too hard dealing with you. Do you know when she and I got married, within a few years, 5, 10 years, whatever it was, she came to a place, she said, Harvey, I'm not asking for a divorce, but she said, I think we need to separate. I'm like, why? She said, because there's things in your life that no matter if I say them to you, the pastor says them to you, you're not listening. And she says, and it's hard to be with you. And there was a whole year there where, because I didn't want to go through divorce, because my folks have been through divorce twice with each other. And I did not like it. And it hurt me a lot. And I said, I don't ever want to go through this. I said, what do I got to do so that we don't separate? And now all of a sudden, she got my attention. Now, because I was committed to her, I was like, whatever it takes to make this work. Well, a lot of times, we're the ones who have to change, but we think it's them. Have you ever pointed at somebody? You notice you got 3 fingers pointing back at you? That's because we need to look at ourselves 3 times before we look at somebody else once. It's real easy to look and say, I can see what's wrong with Brandon. And Brandon's like, dude, you ought to hold up a mirror. Actually, Brandon doesn't say that. God says that to me. Harv, you can see what's wrong with other people, but you don't see what's wrong with you. And you justify it, and you argue it away, and explain it away, and you blame others. Well, it's their fault. And God's like, no, it's not their fault that you don't act like Christ. It's not their fault you're selfish. It's not their fault you're angry and irritable. It's not their fault. Wow, what's the reason? What's the root here, God? Husband of one wife. What does it take to make this work? See, when, you know what's, can I just share something with you? I'm going to anyway, so tell me yes. Okay. When people come to us and say, would you marry us? I look at them and I think, and I'm looking at them, I wish I had that thing that Sue has, or somebody, I think it's Sue has it. She has these little sticky notes, and they look like, they're yellow. They look like stars. I wish I had 2 of them right now so I could stick them in my eyes. Because when people come to get married, it's like they have stars in their eyes. Oh, he's so wonderful. He's perfect. Oh, she's just wonderful. And I'm going, okay, don't you see this or that? And it's like, no, we don't see anything. We're in love. My point is I already know, hey, look out there. So many of the marriages are failing. And even the ones that are together, they're not happy, they're miserable, they... Okay? So I say, can I help you with your marriage? I said, because if we're going to marry you, I'm going to help you with your marriage. I'm going to give you some tools that right now you can't even see them because you got stars in your eyes and you think that he's just, there's nothing wrong with him. But I promise you, Y'all are going to get married and you're going to find out he doesn't throw his dirty clothes in the laundry thing. He doesn't do this and he does that. He has these bad habits and he makes noises and all kinds of stuff. And you're going to be like, so I'm going to help you ahead of time when you got these little stars in your eyes and you can't see, to help give you some tools so that when y'all get together and you have problems and you find out the truth, all of a sudden the stars are gone and you got past thinking it's, you know, some Hollywood fairy tale, you know. Let's go watch a girly movie. No, it's not life. That's Hollywood. It's make-believe. Every single day, are you listening to me? Every single day, if you're going to have a good marriage, you are going to work at it. And you are going to have to give way more than you get. Because if you expect them to do the giving, you are going to lose. I promise. Because you have wrong expectation. When we marry people, we tell them, it's not 50-50. See, there's people that come to us and say, would you marry me? And then as soon as we start talking, we'll even have one session. Sometimes we don't even make one session. But I don't know how many of them we've had one session. They don't come back. And I tell them it's six sessions. One every week, and they got to be at least a week apart. We're going to give you homework. And when you come back, if you didn't do the homework, we're not doing anymore. But my marriage date is, I said, then you better do the homework. Because if not, I'm not marrying you. Because I'm not just saying, oh, bless this little Hollywood fairy tale marriage. I want to put you together in a way that 50 years from now, y'all are going to be married. And you're going to be building this marriage. And it's going to require a lot out of you. Marriage is probably the hardest relationship you'll ever do. But the reason is because she's opposite of you. Have you ever said, what's wrong with your thinking? Well, she thinks that about you. And he goes, like women, they call me. And they'll say, Harvey, I need you to glaze my tub. And she said, I was talking to my husband. And I said, we need to glaze the tub. And he said, why? What's wrong with it? And she said, can't you see? And he goes, no, I'm male. What's wrong with it? It's functional. And the woman starts crying. It's not pretty. Who cares if it's pretty? She does. And she's half your marriage. Guys, you and I would be living in a tree or a cave somewhere if it wasn't for the women. We don't care. Last time we went to get a house, I told Sue, I don't want to go look. I could care less. I would live in a tent. I could care less. Just tell me where you want to live, and we'll live there. So she only drugged me around to five houses instead of the 150 she went to. Okay? So I only had to go to five. Thank you, Jesus. I don't care how you want this living room to be set up. Just tell me we will set it up, but I'm not moving it every few months or years. I will nail it to the floor. It's not getting moved. I do it one time, that's it. But women are like, oh, change my hair every week. Oh, change this. Oh, 14 times a day, got to put on. You know what? Women are different than us. You ought to be glad. You wouldn't want to be married to a guy. I'm telling you, if you're a guy, you don't want to be married to a guy. You don't. I'm telling you. They are worth it. But they are different. And women look at us and they're like, what am I going to do with him? Husband of one wife. It is a hard relationship. If a minister, if a leader, you, if you're not willing to work on that relationship, what are you going to do with other people that come into your church that are hard cases? People that are obnoxious, people that don't bathe, people that argue, people that are know-it-alls, people that don't want to change, people that nod their head, say all the right words, and don't do a thing with it. People that are not faithful. What are you going to do as a leader if you can't even work on that marriage? Do you understand? So he's given you husband of one wife. Verse 6, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Having faithful children. See, you're going to raise up children. You're going to be a leader. You're going to raise up people. They're going to be your children. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you have children. If you're a deacon, the people that you are serving, they're like your children. They're people you're ministering to. They're people you're helping along. You're trying to help teach them. If you're a pastor, a leader, it's like they're your children. Every one of you are like my children. It's like I care about you. I want to help you. Well, one of the qualifications to be a good leader is, it says, having faithful children. Teaching people how to be faithful. They have to have a foundation. So we need to build a foundation in people. That's why I say, please open your Bible so that you're building your faith on the Word of God, so that you're following God, so that you know where to go to get your answers, so that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus. This Bible is the Lord Jesus in print. He is the Word of God. This is the precious Lord Jesus. I can't see you, Lord. He says, pick up your Bible. Hug me. Open it. Let me talk to you. I will talk to you. I will minister to you. Having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Training our children. Do you know it takes a lot of repetition to teach a child? What do you think it takes with a pastor or a leader? Do you think you're going to tell them one time and just because they go like this, they got it? No. And just because they know it doesn't mean they're going to do it. Why? Because this world and the flesh and the devil's got all these flashing lights. Come, do me. Come over here. This will make you happy. It may make you happy, but it won't make you content. And it will draw you away from the truth, and it will rob you of your peace and your joy. And so, having faithful children. To have faithful children means you had to spend some time. And you only had to probably tell them about, 3,000, maybe 4,000 times before they get it. There was times we were telling our kids stuff right before they got married. They're 18, 19 years old. Why am I still having to tell you to turn all the lights out? Why am I still having to tell you to make your bed? Why am I still having to tell you to fold your clothes? For crying out loud, you're getting ready to get married. Oh, she'll do it. No, she won't. And if you go into it with that attitude, you are not going to have a happy marriage. We have to be faithful for them to be faithful. So we started in 1 Peter 5, 1, I think we started, no, did we start there? 1 Peter 5, 1 through 5. I dare you to read 6 through 8, put that in parentheses, and just go meditate on 6 through 8. But we'll talk about that another time. And then Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, I believe it is. Okay? Now, we're putting together a list here. What if you put together a list that God gives and said, God, I'm called to be a leader. What kind of leader am I going to be? If I'm going to be a leader that God wants, then I need to look at these things and say, God, how do I get these things in my life? He says, well, the first thing you have to do is you have to read them. Second thing you have to do is think about them. Third thing you need to do is ask me, God, is this in my life? God, what does this mean? Is this in my life? God, what needs to happen for this to get in my life? Because whether you like it or not, if you're under the sound of my voice, you are called to be a leader. We talked to my cousin Tim. And we told him, Tim, right now we are looking to get you into a group home, a setting like that. We said, Tim, one thing that you're going to do, that we think God wants you to do, is you're going to be a missionary. You're going to be a witness. You're going to go and you've been getting and learning about Jesus. And when you go there, you're going to help bring other people to Jesus. Can you do that? And he goes, yeah, I like doing that. If you're in this, if you're in the sound of my voice, you're called to be a leader. If you're a man, you're called to lead a home. You're called to lead your children. But there's other things that God wants you. But we got to start with the foundation. And how do we do that, God? What's the foundation? That's why I was giving you these passages. 1 Peter 5, Titus chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Go look them up. Pray over them. God, help me. Well, I'm never going to be a pastor. That doesn't mean you're not a leader. Do you have a child? You're a leader. Are there people around you? Then you're a leader. Because somebody's leading. Or are you all aimless and directionless? Okay, wandering around, not knowing what you're doing. You are a leader. Either for God or the devil. You're a leader.
What if you don't want to be a leader?
That's where it said, not by constraint, not because you have to, but willingly. That means you need to adjust your attitude. And you need to say, okay, I'm called to be a leader. I don't really want to, but since I'm going to be anyway, I'd rather be one for God than one for the devil, because that way I get a reward instead of a punishment. Do you understand? I love you. And I care about you. I want to help you with your life. If God took me home, if I got in a car accident today and I go home, I want to have given you a good foundation. I want to give you something that's going to help you for the rest of your life, with every area of your life. I want you to have a full and contented and purposeful life. I want to help you to not step in all the holes and stuff I've stepped in and that I see other people step in. You have a Bible. Will you read it this week? I just gave you three chapters, and not even whole chapters, just little passages. Would you read them this week and say, you know what? I'm going to be a leader anyway. Do I want to be one for the devil or for God? So if I want to be one for God, God, how do I get these things in my life? And he's like, we're going to work on it one thing at a time. God's not going to overwhelm you. He's not going to beat you up. He goes, and he's going to be like, I'm right here to do it. He said, you are my job. He said, it's not you trying to straighten up. You just got to admit, God, this is what's true in my life, but I don't want it anymore. I want what your word says. So God, would you come work it in me? And he says, yep, all you got to do is cooperate. All you got to do is admit the truth and cooperate. He says, I'll work it in you. It's not you trying to straighten up. Okay? Then you can have peace. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. May you make alive to us so that we want what you want. And help us to realize our hope is in you. Thank you, Jesus. You are so awesome. Thank you for making it so simple. You're awesome. Amen.